And it just so happens that at the same time, they were going to be having a surfing competition. Once again, this sounds like a movie. Mm-hmm. If you were a shark and you found out there was going to be an assload of sardines plus a surfing competition.
Oh, my God.
How could you not show
up? Like, exactly.
Like, how could you not show up? Welcome to Hey, You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey, You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey, You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We'll see how this turns out.
All right, so Katie has got a lot of awesome, stellar advice, some of it that she's unearthed herself, and some from our wonderful listeners.
Yes, 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 yes. We have Michael F.
Yeah, he sent us a five-piece of advice, a five-pack.
Oh, yes, and we're going to be spreading it out over a couple of episodes. But so Michael F. writes in.
We'd like to thank him for doing our work for us. Always a pleasure.
After listening to the show, I realized you're right. There is no real father-in-law advice, usually.
Did he find some?
Yeah, or that gets discussed as standard. So I went and found some. Ha ha ha.
Thank you.
Michael F. does the research.
How did he do it? Yeah.
So he sent a link, and then he was like, and it's just several pieces. And he's like, the second one is sort of weak. The third is better. And then unrelated to father-in-law is something called office etiquette, which is amazing. And then there's another one called open house, which is a close second.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's really insane. And then he said, hope all is well. When I get back from traveling, going to have to bless the bar with a donation because you guys are the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you so much for thinking of us.
And have a great vacation.
Yes, yes. And we hope you're not flying United.
Yes. If you are, I don't know, keep your head down.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this one is, Dear Prudence, it's a tradition in my husband's family to name the firstborn grandchild after a grandparent.
Okay.
My husband...
That cuts down on the diversity of names.
I know, right?
It's
Joe,
it's
Sam.
It's always
Joe
Chris.
And Sam.
Yeah.
Right. My husband is named for his grandfather. Since my husband's mother died young, we named our daughter after both of his parents.
Okay.
Think Josephine Marie.
Okay.
Like, so it was a girl that was born, so they named, instead of Joe, it was Josephine Marie after the two.
Okay.
My father-in-law was very enthusiastic about this and adores our daughter.
He was enthusiastic. This is not a big thing in my family, this naming. Everyone's just like, it's on your own.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
It's not committee.
I know. But since finding out our second child is going to be a boy, he expects us to name the child after him again and says it doesn't count with a girl.
Well, then, why did we're revoking the girl's name. Right. Changing the girl's name.
Yeah. I think matching boy-girl sibling names are way too cutesy, like Joseph and Josephine.
I don't think cutesy is the word, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's annoying. And I don't think kids like it.
No, no.
You know?
And I don't like the idea of, like, you know, Robert and Roberta.
Yeah, it's
just
weird.
Strange.
It's like what I had some friends who were twins when I was growing up, and their names were something like Jeannie and Janine. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's already hard enough as it is to tell which one is the pretty one. You know what I mean? And to get the name right. Okay.
And I also want to acknowledge my side of the family, but I'm furious over my father-in-law's dismissal of his granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
It, really.
That is rude.
It's really, well, it doesn't really count because she's a girl.
It doesn't count because it's a girl?
Yeah.
I mean,
I am worried this will persist as our child grows up, and I don't want my daughter to be shoved aside for her brother's benefit.
Well, she's going to be. They already set that up.
Yeah, you already have that
going
on in your family.
Yeah.
Talking to my father-in-law has gone nowhere, and he just dismisses our concerns. My husband wants to ignore the issue, name the baby what we want, and that dad will come around.
The winner.
I think there is a deeper issue here. This has really dampened my happiness over my pregnancy. Am I overreacting or what? Please advise.
Yeah, screw these people. Like, you should be focusing on what you're doing. You got a life going on there. You got a family. Screw this old guy. He's going to be dead in like 30 years anyway.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. That's my attitude. As the older I get, the more I'm like, wait a minute. How much longer are we going to be here? We need to be assholes?
Yeah, this whole thing about the idea that it's a girl. So
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's not the same.
And,
ooh, boy, that makes me want to punch someone in the neck.
This grandfather is not that old, right? How old is this grandfather? 60? What is his excuse? Like 60 years ago, that attitude wasn't popular. Yeah. It's like, it's time to let that go.
It's kind of like there's a viral video going around of this father who had five daughters and then he had a son and he almost like had...
He was thrilled.
He was so thrilled. He's like, praise Jesus. I thought he was going to float away.
Yeah. Who cares?
You've got a healthy baby.
Yes. You should be happy. You should be happy that these people are even bothering to include you in their life. Yeah. Because we don't live in a traditional society anymore. Parents could be like, fuck off, grandparents. Yeah. Get out of here, in-laws. It doesn't matter.
Guess what? We came behind closed doors. Yes. We came up with our own thing. Yep. And this is what we're doing.
And you have to deal with it. If you don't like it, fuck off. Right? Grandparents don't provide the support that they used to. I think parents, in a way, don't either as you become a adult. So there's not that same attachment. Mm-hmm. You know, like, most people that I know can get by without grandparents helping. Mm-hmm. Or the grandparents aren't around in the first place. So,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is he going to give them, like, a shitload of money if they name this kid after him or something?
That's the thing.
What's the point?
Yeah.
What do you get?
Write a check.
Yeah.
I'm
auctioning this off.
Yeah.
He could be Joseph for the right price.
Yeah.
For the right price.
Okay. All right, so the advice is, for what it's worth, I don't think your husband is ignoring the issue. So, first of all, now you're rushing to the husband's defense on it. I'm like...
The husband said, what, forget it, let's just do our own thing?
He said, just, you know, ignore the issue, the dad will come around. He's like, do what we want to do. Given that together you've already had numerous conversations with his father and plan on naming your second child something else, no longer trying to persuade your father-in-law, in fact, is a sensible course of action.
Yeah. Don't stress yourself out, especially if you're pregnant. Do not stress yourself out.
Absolutely. Yeah. If he presses the subject, you can let him know the matter is closed and that he already has a grandchild named after him and that you're no longer inviting feedback on what to name your as-yet-unborn son.
The window's closed.
Yes.
We're done.
Given the opportunity to gracefully get a hold of himself and realize what an honor it is to have anyone named after him.
How do you say that? Gracefully get a hold of yourself, son. Pull it together.
If he does, you can consider this a weird self-absorbed blip and move on. I don't think it's a sure thing he will ignore his granddaughter once your son is born. You say he adores her, and so it's likely that this strange fixation on his grandson's name has more to do with identifying with... an AMAB child than it does with a desire to cast his granddaughter aside.
Mm-hmm.
And so assigned male at birth.
Oh, is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, yeah. So they have the letters. I had to look it up too.
I don't know that term.
AMAB.
Why don't they just say baby boy until further notice? You know what I mean? Until further notice. I like that. AMAB. I don't have a problem with someone use, but that acronym's not fun. AMAB.
Yeah, I know it's not.
It's come up with something, you know, something that rolls off the tongue. I'm saying baby boy until further notice, but I mean that's not short, but more fun to say.
Baby. TFN.
Yes. I don't know. AMAB. Okay. So what is it again? A male at birth. What is it?
Assigned male at birth.
Assigned male at birth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
You are assigned male at birth.
Yes.
I pronounce
you male for now.
Until further notice.
Yeah. Well, I think it's what has penis will travel. I don't know. Because that's what they're talking about, right? They're talking about that he has a penis. Okay.
Okay. The former still has plenty to do with sexism and outdated gender ideas, to be sure, but it's not a guarantee that he's going to be a lousy grandfather. Just say no, refuse to brook further discussion on the subject, and see how it goes.
Maybe my family is just weird, but, like, really, we just let people do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of this baby names discussion thing. People are like, this is the... Like, because it happens in the hospital, usually, I feel like. And people are like, well, my mom had a plan for my name, and my dad rushed into the last minute. I think my mom was passed out. He's like, quick, Jaquetta.
Oh, no.
They weren't upset about it, though. Yeah. Because it's like, okay... Fine. Yeah.
What was your name supposed to be?
Or
not supposed to be, but what was the
first? No, it was supposed to be, I forgot what it was. It was something like Abdullah or something that would have caused me a lot of trouble in this political climate.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
right.
So either, I mean, it doesn't matter either way, but like, you know, it wasn't like my mom was like, get that off there. It's like, okay, whatever. This is the name.
Yeah.
In your family, is there a huge discussion of names?
Are there
other Katies?
All of the kids had to be named after saints.
Okay, that makes sense, though.
It's because I was raised Catholic, and my mother was like, all the kids have to have...
there are tons of saints names.
Right, right. There's a ton of them. And then, so my mother's like, it's all after saints. And then my father was like, it's really after other people in the family that we liked.
Who like, also have saints' names, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had a... So he insisted that's what it's from. My mother's like, no, it was just a saint's name. It's not after anybody.
So are there other... There are Katie's of older generations?
There are other Catherines, yes.
Okay, Catherines, that's right.
Catherines. There are other Catherines, and... I think I'm the longest surviving Catherine.
Still here.
Knock wood.
Knock on wood.
But this also rubs me the wrong way in the way that I had two older sisters.
Okay.
And then they thought I was going to be a boy. Surprise.
Whoops.
Yeah.
But then they kept going, so they're
boys. I know, but they were like, oh, God. Like, it was a joke in the delivery room when I came out, and they were like, it's a girl. And my father was like, damn.
Well, at least you ended with a joke.
Yeah.
You started with humor.
Yeah. And the nurses all laughed at my father. Ha, ha, ha. And that's the thing. It's like his disappointment.
Oh, I don't...
In my gender.
I have no idea. Neither of my parents wanted any kids. So they were probably like, it's alive. And then they just moved on.
Yeah.
Like there was no preference.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, she's here. Let's go. Oh, I like that. Thank you, Michael F.
Michael F. is
one of five.
Yes.
So I would like to talk about a little, this is kind of barnyard news, and barnyard news is a segment. We talk about animals that are in the barnyard, sometimes animals that are out. This is not a barnyard animal, but it has been going around the internet. It is the naked, although I like to refer to it as the nude mole rat.
The nude
mole
rat.
Give them dignity.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen pictures of these?
I have.
They're cute.
Yes.
I think they're cute.
Who gave us this again?
I think this was... Katrina G. I'm not 100% sure though on Twitter.
Yes,
it was
Katrina G.
Specifically for us. It was just she put it. It was in her feed.
And then
she tweeted it. I saw it.
And we jumped on
it.
So thank you, Katrina.
Thank you, Katrina. So it says nude mole rats. Nude, my own. Are tough creatures. They can withstand cancer, pain, and even survive 18 minutes without any oxygen at all.
Isn't that amazing?
So they live underground. It doesn't say what part of Africa, so maybe it's widespread. Deserts of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever deserts are found in Africa. They spend their entire lives crawling through the tunnel networks that they've made. And apparently they eat poop. I don't know what that means, whose poop it is, where it came from. It says...
Wow.
They're the nude... Again, my own. Mole rats are wrinkly, hairless, poop-eating, delightful creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Who live in large colonies of up to 280. That doesn't seem very big if you're a bee, but I guess if you're a mole rat...
That's a lot. Can you imagine one mole rat? Now imagine 280 of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
In the
naked.
Poop, naked, hairless, and delightful.
Yeah. And
delightful.
Well, that can be helpful if they eat poop. Do they eat their own poop or others?
That's what I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little more research. But apparently, over the, millennia or whatever, since they've been living underground, there's less oxygen for them. So they've adapted to this. So they're now at the point where they can go without oxygen for 18 minutes at a time.
That's amazing.
So it says on the surface, the carbon...
I can't go without wine for 18 minutes.
I wonder how they do with it, the nude mole rat. They're already nude. On the surface, carbon dioxide makes up less than 1% of the gas, but in the tunnels, it's 7 to 10%. And so the air is very warm, very close, and difficult to breathe. As I say, for most...
sounds miserable.
Sounds awful, but delightful for them. So basically what they do is they are so low functioning, I guess, and chilled out, that they don't need a whole lot of air. Like, they don't panic. So when we don't have air, we start panicking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We start hyperventilating. These guys are like, we got 17 minutes left. We're good to go.
Okay.
So they've been testing stuff on them. And I thought, I could never be a scientist. I could never do this. So they cut off the oxygen for some mole rats. And they lasted for... Sorry, they decreased the level of oxygen, and they lasted for 5 hours.
Whoa.
The same decreased level. Mice died after 15 minutes. And I'm saying, why didn't they open up the chamber? Like, when you saw the little mice expiring, I would have been like, okay, that's it. We're good.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them die. It just seems sad to me. I couldn't do it.
Yes, I agree. I couldn't either.
But anyway, I mean, so it says when oxygen was...
Except if it was a rat.
Yes. Not a mole rat, though.
Not a mole rat, but a rat.
A city rat.
Oof.
When oxygen was completely removed and replaced with nitrogen, the mice died after 45 seconds in the chamber. The naked mole rats, however, just passed out. I'm just imagining, like, whew. Just kind of falling over. So then after 18 minutes, they were still alive. They recovered. They revived them. 30 minutes, they couldn't make it, though. Okay. So the max they found it was 18 minutes for the little mole rats. So they do it by going into suspended animation. When there's very little oxygen, they just stop messing around.
Yeah.
They keep everything to a minimum. They lower their heart rates, all of their functions, slow down the kidneys, everything. Okay. And they kind of slow down their metabolism, and they survive that way. So they're just trying to figure out if there's any way to learn from the mole rats to help humans who are having a stroke or heart failure, because, you know, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
If there's any way to, like, help humans slow down their, I guess, metabolism and stuff like this to survive.
All right.
Kind of, I don't know how that's going to happen.
That's what's happening with my metabolism. Yes, slowing it down.
Slowing down. Katie and I can go without oxygen for at least 2 minutes if there's wine.
Yeah.
Right. We can actually get oxygen out of wine. We figured that out. We're developing something. It's kind of an alcoholic gill.
Yeah.
That will help us. So, yeah, that was the naked mole rats. It's bizarre to me. It's all over the media for some reason. Whoever's doing the PR for this nude mole rat thing is on point. Because it's everywhere. And maybe it's the pictures of them, too. They look like little, you know, cute little
naked
mice. So, anyway, the nude mole rat.
Nice.
On my radar. All right, what do you got?
I got the four R's. #NYC.
Another listener email. And listeners,
this
is not advice. This is robot news.
Okay. So if you ever want to correspond with us, send us a segment and to tell us how awesome we are, you can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and we will thank you and read your thing on the air.
Yes, yes. So this is from Sid.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
What's up, Sid?
Hey, Sid. So zero Disney people actually watched all of Westworld. That's the title of the email. I'm like,
Full disclosure, I have not seen Westworld. I've seen the signs. I do not. Is it HBO?
HBO, yes.
Okay, I don't have HBO.
So yet. It's basically about this Wild Wild West setting that is kind of like a theme park for people to go to. And
it already sounds creepy.
Yeah, but all the inhabitants of Westworld are robots. All right.
Hell no.
So, yes.
Why would you go there?
You go there to role play and interact with them and have this whole thing. So you can shoot them. You can have sex with them. You can do whatever. And whatever you want. You can have dinner with them. You can dance with them. Talk to them.
See, the kind of things that I want to do, I don't particularly want to do them with robots. I don't think it'd be that fun to, like, go see movies with robots. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are the kind of things I want to do. Like, go have a couple of drinks with robots.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's an amusement park. Is it, like, can anyone go, or is it really expensive?
It's super expensive.
Okay.
And so the people that are really into it are the ones that really want to live out their fantasies.
Okay.
So they're there for lots of sex, for orgies, for whatever, to raping, to beating, to killing, like, really brutal, brutal stuff.
Fantasies, yes. Basically.
But the idea is that these robots are programmed in a way where they have the emotional response of a human. So they're reacting, and you could see them reacting and being
wow. Like,
so
they
horrified.
Don't look like robots at all.
No,
they 100% look like people.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
But, are they affected?
Well, they're not supposed to be.
Spoiler
remember.
Alert. Okay,
but they're remembering,
oh.
And they're also feeling. They're having the feelings,
and they're adapting
the memory.
Probably.
And yes, they're programmed not to kill.
Okay,
but
yeah, dot dot dot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool.
So anyway, that's Westworld. So. Disney people actually watched all of Westworld, what they're doing. So Sid writes to us, alternative subject, I'll take incredibly stupid business ideas for 500, Alex. Says, hey, Jaquetta and Katie, I apologize for the brevity, but I spotted this one as I signed off for bed. Guess I'll be avoiding Disney resorts in the near future.
I've always found Disney to be creepy, even when I was a kid.
Yes, 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 yes. What it is, the article that Sid sent us, Disney wants to add soft body humanoid robots to its theme parks.
Why would they even say soft body? That, like, right away. Okay, soft body. What's wrong with that? With the people who do the costumes and stuff, no?
Well, this is what
they
someday in the near future, Disney theme parks could put out the cease all motor functions command to shut down its army of robots for the night. And while we're a long way from Westworld, Disney is looking ahead at some advanced robotics to join the cast members of Disneyland and Disney World.
Why? What's wrong with just hiring college kids?
No, they file patents for soft body robots that may play animated and humanoid characters while interacting with guests
at
the theme parks. It's not entirely new ground for Disney, as the parks have used animatronic characters for decades. They have, but they're, we know what they are.
Yeah, we know what
they are. And nobody wants to touch them.
Yeah, you don't interact with those. Those are more for, like, Tableau, right?
Yeah. The patent filing suggests that these new robots will actually physically interact with the guests in a way that no previous robot could match.
They had better not.
A huggable Big Hero 6. That huggable robot. Remember?
that weird
that movie.
Yeah,
with
he looks like a pro wrestler.
Yeah. He looks like a giant, like, marshmallow.
Yeah. Wrestler.
A huggable robot is actually a pretty inspired choice for Disney's first soft humanoid robot. Little kids want to hug it.
But it's not soft, is it? That thing. That makes no sense to me. Okay. Anyway. What's wrong with them hugging, like, a person in a costume?
They don't want to hire people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then who's in the costume? You'd be like, people are like, I don't want my kid hugging this Goofy.
I don't know.
This Mickey. Who's inside? I don't want them.
A human, though. What's inside that?
So the parks are moving in this direction where they're getting these soft.
What is this? Soft robots. Body robots?
Yeah.
Okay.
The technology could also be changing the way fans interact with Disney characters in the park itself. Mm-hmm. Since the beginning, you know, Disney cast members wore costumes, and
they started asking for raises. They wanted to go union.
Yeah, but now the soft robots can do the same thing, but they won't ask for raises.
Yeah, they won't file sexual harassment claims.
And they could even offer a greater immersion into Disney's fantasy realms as never before.
I guess, yeah, because now a lot of Disney stuff is not human-based, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we were growing up, all the characters was, like, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. Like, you know, they were human characters, like, based on humans.
Yes.
But now they're moving past that, right? Like, cars, that kind of stuff.
And they say, hopefully we can avoid a Westworld-style bloodbath.
No.
Since the machines inevitably rise against humanity, which they're going
to
do.
They're going to do that. Have they not? They've seen the Simpsons episode where they go to Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Oh, no.
And it's all robots and they go insane?
No.
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago.
If anything, they're more like puppets, since the patent suggests they will be controlled by Disney cast members.
No. From where? How?
That.
Like remote control?
So you got some disgruntled employee that's like, I wanted to be Mickey. Mickey is my role.
Yes.
I was born to be Mickey. Now this thing is doing it.
Ooh.
Guess what it's going to do? It's going to...
Yeah, I don't know about that. And also just, like, my husband and I were talking about this the other day, that you have all this technology, but how many times have we been in the same room together and I'm not able to give you a phone call?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not able to text you and you're, like, just down the hall.
Right,
whatever.
Right. So it's not ready yet, but in a few years, you may see the robots walking around Disney.
No, thank you. I'm glad that I'm old. I'm not ready for this.
I'm not either.
When I was younger, I was really excited by this kind of stuff, that there would be robots, but I don't really see the point.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, I mean, I feel like we should be putting together robots for things that we can do, like space exploration, mining,
mm-hmm.
things that are dangerous.
Yeah.
Not...
Search and rescue.
Know. Yeah, search and rescue, those kind of things. Not this.
So, think about an 8-foot-tall...
No.
...sentient Mickey.
No. No. Ooh. I'm already creeped out by the 6-foot-tall dude in a costume dressed like Mickey Mouse. No. And that big, it's going to have a big robotic eye staring at you all the time. It can record everything, see everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can see behind it. Like, it can... So the idea that these are kind of humanoid in a way, they have eyes in the front, but you don't know
where else there's an eye
or a speaker or any of these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't like it. Well, thanks, Sid.
Ooh. Thank you, Sid. Now we're...
And there's going to be kids running around these things?
Yeah.
Unpredictable
but
kids?
But this is how kids... Getting attached to something that is not human is a problem. Or even alive.
Yeah.
You could get attached to an animal,
I mean,
sure.
That's... Getting attached to an animal, I think, is totally legitimate.
Yeah.
And then children do get attached to, like, their doll and things like this. But this is weird.
Because it interacts.
It interacts with you, and this attachment is not going to... die off, I think, as you pass out of that magical phase of childhood when you have imaginary friends and you talk to your dolls and you play and you do things like that.
Right.
I think there's still value in that fact, the fact that that phase of your life closes with this. Why would it ever? And then how would you be able to tell the difference between, you know, reality and this animatronic stuff?
And it's so much easier to interact with a robot who is programmed to deal with you than another human being.
I guarantee you that whoever, what's the robot called? The pro wrestling marshmallow guy?
Oh, the Big Hero 6 robot.
Big Hero 6 will be replacing teachers in classrooms. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that's where all of this kind of stuff is going.
They're all
going to sell you something at the end of the lesson.
They like a plain face, a big, wide, broad, round face, because kids respond well to that.
Yeah.
That's why Shrek was drawn the way he was drawn. With a big face. Because it's attractive to children.
Like anime stuff, like Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
Huge face, gigantic eyes,
yes.
Tiny little mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting. Not a lot of, like, distinguishable features otherwise,
Right.
That's fascinating.
Because think of it, if you're a little baby and like...
That's all you got going on, too.
Looming over your crib is this giant face, and then that takes care of you. So you're like, oh, I see a giant head coming at me.
Ugh.
Maybe I'm going to get a bottle.
Maybe. And with this big six or whatever, you probably will. Right. So speaking of robots, I found this, and then Katie also found it as well, apparently. It's a $30,000... robot called Sally the Salad Robot.
Yes! Sally the Salad Robot.
This comes out of, the San Francisco area. Surprise! And the backstory of this is that in Silicon Valley and in, Silicon Valley and that area, it's so expensive to live there.
Yes.
That unless you are making six figures, you just can't afford to be there.
Right.
So as a result, they're having trouble finding people to work, people to do their dirty work that they don't want to do and they don't want to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't find people to work in restaurants. They're saying they're having trouble finding teachers. They're having trouble finding first responders, like EMT people. Mm-hmm. They're even having trouble getting doctors in the area. So instead of saying, hey, maybe we need to alter the way that we do things to support people in the community that do these jobs that don't make a lot of money, they are instead inventing robots like Sally the Salad Robot.
This is ridiculous.
So what it does is it's the first product from a company called Chowbotics.
Oh.
Wah, wah. A Redwood City startup developing robots for the food service industry. You know we really need those because no. Okay. So the guy who's come up with it, it says it's people from Google, and they've identified the difficulty that even paying someone $14 an hour to work in a food service place, they can't afford to live near Silicon Valley. They have to travel like an hour. And most people, once you hit over the hour mark, people are not willing to travel that far to not make that much
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely.
You know, like if it's a half an hour or something, fine.
Right.
So the robot is $30,000. And they're saying it's going to work out because a full-time kitchen employee can cost $40,000 a year, which is not very much at all. This robot, though, it doesn't truly make the salad, from what I understand. So it looks like an ATM machine. And inside are all of the ingredients that are pre-chopped by humans. So they stock this thing, and then you tell it what you want, and then it drops those items into a bowl. That's all it does.
Yeah.
It just puts them into the bowl. So it doesn't chop. It doesn't prepare. It just takes the items that it has inside of and drops them into a bowl. That's the entire thing.
Oh.
So it says, it still needs humans. There are numerous workers that take the salad or the ingredients of the salad from farm to robot. Someone has to clean it. Someone has to restock it. People have to grow and prepare the ingredients. And the Chowbotics buys everything pre-chopped.
That's a thing. It's
like, really? Doesn't this sound like they're making more work for themselves?
It's totally, it's a ton of work. It's like, just get a person to do the whole thing for you, and that's it.
And then pay them a wage that they can survive on.
Yeah.
I doubt that people are restaurant workers. So they're saying the average is $14 an hour. Well, how much do they need to be able to live modestly in your community? That's what you have to pay them.
Yeah.
Whatever that price is.
Yeah.
You're making lots and lots and lots of money. Break them off some. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. The other thing I find strange is that it mentions in the article, as I said, it's not just restaurant workers. It's teachers, first responders, and doctors. So are they going to start coming up with robots for these people? And then what's Silicon Valley going to be like? It's going to be a few weirdos making millions of dollars and then a sea of robots swarmed around them? I find it weird because even as evil a person as Henry Ford was, he knew that if his workers could not buy the product that he had a problem.
Yeah.
Right. So who are these guys? Like, who are these guys making things for? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, as long as they're okay.
Yeah.
It's that mentality. As long as I get my nut, yeah. then,
But what about the fact that, okay, so they're saying, okay, we can't afford to pay people. People are making $14 an hour. They don't want to commute here. It takes too long. So let's just eliminate their job altogether. Mm-hmm. That's the what they came up with.
Yeah.
No concern whatsoever for the person making the $14 an hour. Yeah. None. So instead of paying them more, they'd rather put them out of work. What do they think they're going to do? I hope that they come to their house and crack that robot right over the side of the head. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Or what is it? The purge is going to happen. Yes.
What's going to happen when all the first responders are robots? When all of the, you know, the house cleaners are robots, the caregivers are robots.
Right. Exactly.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, if there's an emergency.
Not only that, so whoever is programming those robots.
Yeah.
They will want to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't pay a certain amount, then you're not going to get your robot to do your... Yeah, you're not going to get your salad. You're not going to get your house cleaned.
Yeah.
And then if you really want the robot to do something off-label...
Yes, you're going to have to pay extra. You have to tip.
Yeah, and you have to go through this whole thing instead of just asking a human being. I'll throw you a 20.
But what is the aversion? I think this is the problem with... Because I worked in tech a while ago, maybe 10 years ago, and I didn't like it because I saw this kind of BS coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. I saw that people were forgetting that things can be done by humans and should be done by humans because they just sit around with computers all day long.
Yeah.
I think they think they're computers.
Yeah.
And they want to interface with other computers. I don't know.
It's also the idea of, like, this emotional IQ that people have.
Yeah, that they don't.
They don't have it. They haven't developed it. Or
they're not going to.
It's hard.
It hurts. Yes.
It hurts and it's hard. It's really to interact with people and try to find compromises
when
and things like that.
When I asked for my salad from a human, I had to mention twice that I wanted olives.
Yeah.
And that irked me.
Yeah. Well, you know how angry that I get at restaurants.
Yes.
When the servers come up and come right to the table talking and interrupt, and which is, and I served for many years,
yeah.
and I'll tell you, you walk up to the table
and then
take a moment for them to acknowledge you or not, and then say, excuse me.
But this goes beyond just serving tables.
Yes.
This is like just basic. Like you don't walk into anyone's conversation.
Yeah.
You
and
always wait.
Talking, yeah. And they don't
even
do it.
Even when
kids today don't do it. It just drives. You know,
it's a thing.
I'm full of vinegar today.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
it's just a thing though. Because even when I'm walking around the street, if I see two people talking and I want to go up to them, I will come near, wait.
Mm-hmm.
They know. They'll finish up what they're saying, and then I'll, oh, excuse me, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't just jump in. I think this is a larger problem. And having people, I wonder what it's going to be like though when. People really don't know how to interact with humans anymore. So there's a couple of restaurants near Grand Central where you look in there, there's no people.
Yeah.
They're all behind like some glass and they want you to go up to an iPad and order.
Yeah.
I don't work there.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, they all want you to work there.
No.
And I feel that way at CVS all the time. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't work at CVS.
I don't work
Why
at Panera.
I'm not
going to be filling out my order when we go back and fucking bake the bread
mm-hmm.
and put the schmear on it myself. I'm not doing it.
Remember the wine place, the wine bar we went
yes.
to?
Katie and I went to a wine bar in Columbus Circle. It's not there
it's
anymore.
It's not there anymore. Yeah.
It's not there. But you come in, they have servers kind of standing around, but the servers were there to explain to us how to use the wine dispensing machine.
Three times.
Yes.
When they could have just gotten the wine.
So then we were given a card.
Yeah.
I think or something like this, like some kind of an ATM or a debit card or something.
Yeah.
And then we were to go around and like dispense the wine ourselves. It came out of like a spigot.
And
very small pours.
Yes. And that was really,
that was
it's
annoying.
Like, we need, that's why you need human beings
yes.
to throw an extra
yeah,
in there for you.
Yeah, you need an extra ounce in there.
Yeah.
So it was, we were there, we didn't even get drunk. That's how not good it was.
We had
and
to
then
leave.
We left.
Yeah.
Because we were confused. There were a lot of servers sitting around. And then we were like, are we supposed to tip you? Because
yes.
she didn't do anything.
Because they explained how we had to get up and pour our
Every
own wine.
Every time we wanted a glass of fucking wine, we had to
get
up and get it ourselves.
And then tip?
I don't even know if they refreshed the glass.
No.
Or anything like that. It was
no.
weird.
Yeah, and it was, this is the thing, the idea of service. It's no, serve yourself, but tip us.
No.
And pay for it.
No. I still, maybe I'm old fashioned, I like to go to a restaurant and be served.
Yeah.
If I don't want to get served, I'll go home.
Yeah.
Where there's bad service.
Or pick up the takeout and go.
Yes.
And that's it.
So anyway, yeah, that's the salad robot. Good luck. I don't want to see that shit. I hope people vandalize it. I hope angry food service workers descend upon it.
Yeah.
And strip it of all of its, you know.
You know, I think that anytime that anybody sees a robot doing something like making a food delivery, you yes. should just be kicked.
They're trying to pass a law right now. I didn't know you needed a law for this to have those little, it looks like a little cooler and it rolls down the street.
Yes.
So they're trying to pass a law to make it possible for those things to go on a sidewalk. I didn't know you had to pass a law for that.
Yeah, because it's a machine.
Is it?
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not saying I won't kick one if I see it.
Hey, you know, it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Okay, so Tales from Their Campfire is my favorite segment, where we found tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories.
Scary stuff.
And then we would tell them here around the digital campfire, so.
Yes. This one is called...
So,
gather around,
listeners.
They
didn't know what to do. People dispersed.
Gather around, listeners. Okay, this one is called The Thing by the River.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
I never really believed in ghosts or anything supernatural before. I had this experience with my friends.
Okay.
I have a lot of stories my friends would consider supernatural. This exact story still scares me to this day, even though it happened months ago. I still think about it all the time.
Okay.
The fact that we never found out what the thing was really bothered me.
I like this preamble. I'm excited now.
Yes. Over the summer, me, my mom, and a couple of friends of mine all went to Sturgis, South Dakota. Because
okay.
my mom took an assignment there. She's a traveling nurse. We originally lived in Kansas.
Sturgis is where they had the big rally, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. We stayed there the entire summer and a little bit of the school year. My mom rented a house with her roommate, while me and my three friends all lived in a house down the street from my mom's.
Mm-hmm. Probably swinging.
I know.
Nurses.
So, well, we were too loud and stayed up all night, so they rented out our own separate house for us. How cool is that?
Nice. That is really cool.
That is really cool.
Go over there.
Just go.
Yeah.
You guys.
We can see you.
And you're loud.
Yeah.
So we can hear you. A few months passed, and things were pretty good in South Dakota. The people were all nice, and nature was breathtaking. There was nothing but positive vibes.
Okay, that's not how I
felt. It sounds like great.
Dakota, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. That all took a very dramatic turn one day when my mom and Michelle were eating lunch at the Knuckle Saloon, a world famous...
It sounds badass.
Yeah, it's a world famous bar and grill located in Sturgis.
Okay.
My friends and I decided to shout out to the Knuckle Saloon.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody.
Big ups.
Okay.
I know it is Sturgis where they have the big Harley ride.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I know the name of this place. Okay. Otherwise.
How would you know?
Yeah, how would I know?
Yeah. My friends and I decided to drive 30 minutes to Rapid City to go shopping since we had just gotten our allowances from our parents. And they get allowances?
They have their own free place.
Jeez.
I like Rapid City.
And one of my friends is old enough to drive. So we drove to Rapid City to go shopping for a few hours until she decides that she's bored and wants to go exploring, since that was only our second time in Rapid City. We leave the mall and drive around for an hour until we find a beautiful waterfall hidden behind a bunch of trees and huge boulders.
Hmm.
So she parks the car and we get out to take pictures of the waterfall. Well, as one does.
Yeah, they sound like some pretty cool people.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, they're just like checking out the area.
Yeah. We end up staying there for more than 15 minutes because we ended up hiking around the waterfall to take more pictures. One of my friends decides that she wants to explore on her own to take her own photos for her Instagram.
Uh-oh.
So she wanders off. We don't think anything of it. My other friend, the one who drove us to the location, and I
are
still taking
about
pictures.
This.
Yeah, still taking pictures with our cameras, and we're on Snapchat bragging to everybody about our view. When all of a sudden, we hear a blood-curdling scream coming from the opposite end of the waterfall.
Have they never seen a horror movie? Everything that they described.
Yeah.
That's like the first 5-6 minutes.
Yep.
Right. Of a horror film.
we kind of just look at each other completely shook and unsure what to do. So we ran towards the direction of the scream, and we see our other friend in the river confused to how she got there.
Oh.
So she runs down the hill and runs down to see what was wrong, and she didn't say a single word. She just points to a bunch of trees. So we both look at the direction she's pointing and see a black figure. I couldn't make it out what it was, but they swear up and down it wasn't human or alive, in quotes.
Okay.
It had the body of a little girl.
Ew.
But we couldn't see the face. It was completely black. As soon as I saw the figure, I ran down the hill to help them up and over the railing, and we all ran to the car and drove off.
I left that little girl in the woods by herself.
Later that night, I decided to ask her what happened and how she managed to fall over the railing down the hill and into the river. She told me that she was leaning over the railing to get photos of the river when all of a sudden she feels someone tap her on her back.
Remember this?
She thought it was either me or our other friends and doesn't think much of it. So she proceeds to take pictures over the river when all of a sudden she felt someone forcefully push her over the railing. She went tumbling down the hill into the river. Thank God it was still, or she would have drowned or gotten swept away.
Wow.
She says that she looked up to see what pushed her, and it was the figure of the little girl, but she couldn't see the face or anything because it was completely black. So she stands up and starts screaming at the girl, which I couldn't hear because we were on the other side of the waterfall.
Bitch, what the hell? Really?
These were her exact words. I stood up to ask the thing that pushed me why it did what it when all of a sudden it comes flying at my face, literally flying. I fell back down and started weeping and started calling for you guys. I don't know what that thing was, but I definitely know it wasn't human.
That's creepy.
I brush it off thinking it's a bunch of nonsense and that she was only trying to scare me until the next day when we drive past the waterfall with my mom to go see Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom pulls up a news article about a little girl who drowned in the river a year ago. I get shivers down my back and immediately get goosebumps. She was telling the truth all along.
It's revenge.
What did we see? Was it the girl or was it our nerves playing tricks on us? I'll never know what it was, but I have some pretty good ideas as to what it could have been.
So is one little girl drowned and then that the spirit of that girl is suspected of, I guess, trying to drown other people?
Yeah.
Maybe she was pushed.
Yeah.
It sounds like she was pushed.
Maybe she was pushed too.
So then right. whoever she sees there, she's like, that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was you or not. Pushing you.
Okay. She says, would any of you have any ideas as to what we saw and attacked my friend? I keep thinking it's the little girl that drowned in the same river, but I have a feeling it isn't.
Why was the face black?
Why would she try to attack my friend? I don't know. Someone help me get closure on this.
Huh. What do you think?
Well, there's some comments.
Okay.
Have you ever considered the thought that the black-looking demon thing could have been responsible for the little girl drowning?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But it took over the little girl's body, but not the face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Evil lurks all over this earth, even out near rivers and woods.
What do you mean, even out near rivers and woods? Why not? They don't like some fresh air? They don't like a river?
Yeah. Someone else says, maybe it's some kind of demon or spirit residing there, and it was alarmed because your friend is taking pictures of its home.
Okay. I mean, just stay out of the picture.
Another one says...
right? What? Oh, yes.
Stay out of the picture.
Yeah.
Unfinished business is the most annoying thing in the world.
I like that. Unfinished business.
Just unfinished business.
Yeah, you know how that is. You need closure. Everyone needs closure, lady.
Yeah. Yeah, someone else says, my gut is telling me it isn't the ghost of the little girl. Why would she be so violent?
Because someone pushed her. That's what I'm saying.
And someone says, I suspect there's more to the little girl's drowning than reported, that it was not an accidental event, but an intentional, malicious act that summoned something.
Huh, a river spirit? Is that possible?
Maybe.
Maybe a river spirit.
Maybe that kind of action done at that point activated something that is now...
Because it would be really hard for... I'm saying, I feel like the little girl got pushed or was thrown into the river or something like that.
Right.
Because she said it wasn't very, the water wasn't rushing past or anything like that, and her friend was able to easily get out of the river.
Right.
So a little girl should be able to get out of this river as well. Right. Unless she was injured or held down.
Yes. It is also possible that there's more in your friend's life than she has told you.
Well, true. You think she's hiding something? This happens all the time. She's like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is?
I don't think it's the little girl, even though the little girl died there. And I don't think it's her coming back and all pissy.
Okay. That's my That's what I think.
There, I think there's something else by the river.
Okay.
And it is...
The river itself is evil?
Not the river.
Okay.
There's something there that is kind of drawn to that
like a
spot.
Spirit.
Right. And it's going to feed on this kind of fear. Like it got a taste when the little girl was killed. Because I believe the little girl was killed. Somebody killed her. And that kind of evil was like yummy to this.
So maybe he's trying to get more stuff?
Yeah.
To happen?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that.
Man, and it's bad. Trying to throw some shade by...
By the riverside? Down by the riverside? Yeah. So I like to report on sharks, because I love sharks.
Oh, we love sharks at Hey You Know. So, in fact, the shark was going to be our logo.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't get it together. We have used pictures of sharks, though, to represent how we do.
Yeah.
So this is amazing. Is that sharks and Antarctic swell lead to closure of beaches. So... Apparently, a lot of, because of what's happening at the poles,
yes.
I'm guessing when ice melts, it causes gigantic amounts of swells to go around the entire world. I just saw a picture, I don't know if you saw it, of an iceberg showed up, like, outside of a Canadian town. It was huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the size of a building. It just showed up near this town. Can you imagine waking up one morning and being like, a huge iceberg? In any case.
I want to see that down the Hudson.
Yeah. It's going to happen probably at some point in our lives, sadly. It says sharks and other ocean predators are gathering for a scrumptious sardine bait ball, which is believed to be on its way from the south. So you have this sardine bait ball that's coming down, like a lot of sardines, and then the sharks show up to feed. It says, and also you have this Antarctic south swell. So these two things together have conspired to close a lot of the beaches. I think this is in, it's got to be in Australia. And it just so happens that at the same time, they were going to be having a surfing competition. Once again, it sounds like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a shark and you found out there was going to be an assload of sardines plus a surfing competition.
Oh, my God.
How could you not show
up? Like, exactly.
Like, how could you not show up?
That is like, that's the plot of another movie.
It is.
It's Jaws 17.
Yeah. And sharks are with it. Yeah. They are there. So basically, they said two sharks surfaced during torpedo run. So what they do when the sardines kind of make a ball to try to hide from the sharks, and the sharks try to dive through it and cut them off. But the sharks kind of work together to do it. So basically it looks like sharks working together, like dive bombing
these bait
balls.
Okay.
Then someone said there was also during a shark competition. Now, I'm shark competition. During a surfing competition.
I was going to say, I like the shark competition.
What? For the sharks.
Do swimmers swim alongside the sharks with a leash, just like at the dog shows where they go around in circles? And they swim, and they're like...
With it. Alfred. It says, during the competition on Sunday, a shark breached. It leapt out of the water in the middle of the competition. It was like, yo!
They don't really do that, do they?
Some do. We don't know why.
Yeah.
I think it's for flair.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everyone else is surfing doing their thing. It's why, like, fuck it, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. So this is...
Or they're realizing the real meat's up above the water.
Yes. But this is in the middle of a bunch of people surfing. Yeah. Can you imagine you're surfing and all of a sudden you just see a shark just leaps completely out of the water and then jumps back in right in front of you. So it says here, then the shark came back a few more times. And then they closed down the surfing competition. But just for a few minutes.
Ooh. What?
Like, really?
Oh, my God.
For a few minutes. They're like, hold the work. For a few minutes?
Wow.
I don't know. Australians are hardcore. I'd be like, we're out of the water. We're done.
Yeah.
We're out of the water. So basically, it's just like a lot more sharks are coming closer because there's a lot of fish. And also, maybe they like surfing competition.
Yeah.
I think they probably see surfers as a challenge.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, they're just eating fish. They're working on seals. I even watched a documentary where, and I didn't, you may have known this, they eat birds.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why they're probably jumping in the air. Because the birds come down for the fish and they're like, we're learning.
Yes.
And also, surfers must look like a delicious hors d'oeuvre on a cracker.
I think so. And what fun to chase down dinner.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah.
They're probably like, it's a buffet on, you know, on surf. So that's their, why...
They're surfing turf.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. Just the idea that... Because I love watching documentaries about animals that we don't have a cozy relationship with. Because everyone's all like, oh, look at the wolves. They're so cute. Or the bears or pandas. And you see them play and they're having a good time. But when you see, like, sharks doing something, like leaping out of the water, why couldn't they just be having a good time?
Yeah.
That could be it. They could just be doing it for no other reason than like, hey, and there's people out there. There's cameras. You know?
Yeah.
It could be in a documentary. Mm-hmm. It could be in the BBC. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.